Discipleship teams. It's the idea of focusing our Sunday schools, our small groups, and our ministry teams to be more engaged in doing what Jesus asked us to do in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. So we're using these, my throat's going out this morning. We're using these three groups or these teams that already exist, and we're using elements of each of those groups that we already have in place, things like Bible study, fellowship, service, and we're going to use those to help fulfill our vision of serving, transforming, and reproducing others to the same heart and actions of Christ to make disciples. That's the goal. So the first 3 weeks, we talked about how Bible study, fellowship, and service all should result in service. Then the second 3 weeks, which we just finished up last week, was about how Bible study, fellowship, and service should all result in transforming. And then today we start off our last third of this series, and that is how Bible study, or actually the order then I think is how service, fellowship, and Bible study will result in reproducing. And so today we're talking about how reproducing through low risk opportunities to grow in these small groups. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Pray with me. Father, we ask that you would help open your word to our hearts this morning, that we would be reminded, that we'd be encouraged. Maybe we'd actually learn a couple new things. And we'd be able to apply these things to our walk, and that we might be able to experience what we can invite others into experience so that we can reproduce through serving together. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we all have different gifts. We all have different kinds of service, different kinds of work. But we have the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. We are gifted by the Spirit for the common good. That's the goal. That's the Spirit manifests. I love that word. He shows up in our gifts. He manifests himself. He appears through our gifts. And our gifts are meant for the common good. So when we come together, we find meaning. We find purpose. When we work together, when we serve together for the kingdom, when we're active together as one body, we get to experience being part of a body. Because bodies work. They function. They move. And that's when you know you're part of the body. I'm more aware of my body when I'm working it than when it's just laying at rest. So we come together and we serve together as the body of Christ. So we're going to take some notes on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to camp out there. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can, or go there in a digital Bible if you're using that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll be studying a passage on the Bible. For some of you, this will be a review, and that's okay, because sometimes it's nice to be reminded of some things we already know. For some of you, you might learn a little something new. And we'll talk about how this applies to discipleship teams after we take some notes about it. So back to 1 Corinthians 12 to continue jumping through that chapter. In verse 12, it says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." So I'm going to write this down. Just very simple. The body is one, but it has many different parts. Once again, review for some of us, but I think some of us, we need to be reminded of that. The body is one, but it has many different parts. Paul uses this illustration of our physical bodies, and he connects it to the body of Christ, that our physical bodies have many parts, but they are all part of one body. And the same is with the church, the body of Christ, that the body is one, but it has many different parts. So as part of the body of Christ, each of us, we're part of a greater whole, and that's the idea of that. So let's write that down. I am part of a greater whole. I'm part of a greater whole. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm part of a greater whole." Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, "You're part of a greater whole." Verse 14, Paul continues. He says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body.' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, you know, these are just so, is it Eeyore? Is that the guy that's all depressed in Winnie the Pooh? It just sounds like these body parts just got some Eeyore-itis, you know? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, you know, just, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So let's write this down. Each different part of the body belongs to the body. We need to be reminded of that. Just because you aren't a different part than what you are, it doesn't mean that you don't belong. You belong just as you are, whatever part you were made to be. If you're an ear, you belong to the body. If you're an eye, you belong to the body. If you're a hand or foot, you belong to the body. So let's write that down. I belong to the body. I belong to the body. And turn to your neighbor. Remind them of that. Tell them, say, I belong to the body. You belong to the body. We belong to the body. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has, what's that word? That's a big word. It's a big word for meaning. God has arranged. He's arranged the parts of the body, every one of them. Does that include you? Does that include me? It includes all of us. Every one of them. And look at that. Those next, what is that, seven words there? Let's read those together. Just as he wanted them to be. So let's write that down. Each part is made and arranged by God's design with purpose. God made the parts, he gifted the parts, and beyond that, God also arranges the parts of the body just as he wants them to be, so that they will fulfill a greater purpose. That's the great thing about being the part of the body, should be. We have purpose. Each of us have purpose. We have a specific purpose as part of the body. We have a unique purpose. We have a precise purpose. A significant purpose, a purpose that we were made for and a purpose that we were arranged into. So let's write that down. I have purpose in the body. I have purpose in the body. Verse 19, he continues. He said, if they were all one part, where would the body be? I love Paul's logic. Just so simple. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Let's write that down. The body needs all the different parts to be the body. If God made them and purposed them and arranged them, then they belong. And not only do they belong, but they're needed. Each part needs each other. If you're an eye, you can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Get out of here. You don't belong here. If you're a hand, you can't say to the or if you're a head, you cannot say to the feet, you're not needed. We can do without you. See, I'm needed by others. And I need others. That's the purpose. That's how we're built. That's how we're made. So turn to your neighbor and say, you are needed. Second half of verse 24, Paul says, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal, what's that word? Concern. If you're writing in, if you like to write in your Bible, you might want to underline that word. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So let's take some notes on that. Each part should be concerned for the other parts. It's God's design for the church. It's what God wants for the church. We should be concerned for each other. I should be concerned for others, and others should be concerned for me. Should care about each other. Be interested in each other. Concerned. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. I didn't tell him. Oh, he's on with me. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, if you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So from suffering together to rejoicing together, this whole span, this whole spectrum, we are to follow Christ together. It's what we're purposed for. It's what the church is for. Let's talk about discipleship teams in light of the notes and the study that we just were reminded of. Maybe some new things brought to the surface. In discipleship teams, these things like small groups, our Sunday schools, our ministry teams. In those groups, one of the things that I want us to kind of think about this morning is that they are a smaller model of the body of Christ. And sometimes trying to see the big picture, even in a medium-sized church with two very different services, it can be a little bit overwhelming. Seeing how you fit into a church of 200, what purpose will you fill? How do you belong? How do you need others around you, and how do they need you? I mean, certainly we can't ask each of us to be concerned about every one of the 200 or actually 300 and some members that are on our roster, only the 200 of them. Each Sunday will show up, so you'll have some every once in a while come in. So we can't ask each of us to be concerned with the other 300 and some. That's just not realistic. But when we experience the church on a smaller scale, on a smaller sized group, a Sunday school, a small group, a ministry team, sometimes it's easier to see how we are part of a body in a smaller group like that. And when we serve in a group like that, then we are in a low-risk environment to grow as our part of the body. It's easier to grow in a small group when you serve together. Low-risk opportunities because you're with people who know you when you're in a small group. When your Sunday school joins together to serve somewhere, your small group joins together to serve somewhere, our ministry teams, I mean, the basis of a ministry team is service. When you do that together, you're with people that know you, and it's not as nerve-wracking as trying to find your part among a larger group of people, because when you're in a smaller group, it's easier to find your part and talk. Those of you guys, I mean, like the bereavement meals. We just had a bereavement meal this past week. The men and the ladies that help out with that, they just jump in and, where am I needed? What do I need to do? Okay, you're doing this, I'm doing this. Okay, you got this covered, I'll go do this. That's easier in a smaller group. And they find their part. They find where they belong. They find where they're needed. It's easier with the smaller group because you're with people who encourage you because they care about you, because they are concerned about you, because they can be concerned about you, because it's realistic to be concerned about 12 other people, or even in a large Sunday school class, it's realistic to be concerned about 29 other people. That's realistic. You're with people who encourage you because they care about you. It's easier to serve and find your part of the body in a smaller group because you're with people who know us. And they know us well enough to help us to find our part and help us to find what our part is not sometimes. You know, sometimes we need those Simon Cowells, but we need them with a heart. And in a small group, you can get that. In a Sunday school or a ministry team when you're serving together, and someone can be, you know, candid enough to say, you know, I think you'd be better in this part than in that part because I think so-and-so would be better in that part. And you can do that. And you can find your part. And that's part of the deal, is finding our part. Where do we fit in? Where do we belong? Because we're assured in Scripture, as we read earlier, each of us are made for a part. Each of us belong. Each of us are needed. But if you don't find the part where you belong, then sometimes you don't feel like you belong. Sometimes you don't feel like you're needed. Sometimes you don't feel like you're concerned about, or that you can concern yourself about others. And that's the beauty of serving in a small group, in a small group of people, not just a small group, but a Sunday school, in a discipleship team. I'll use the term that we've been using. When you serve in a discipleship team, you get to find your part. Discipleship teams who serve together help us to see on a small scale, and we're going to look at each of the different things we just looked at from Scripture and how they apply. So we get to see on a small scale how different parts work together. Sometimes it's hard to see how our part fits in with the rest in a large scale, but on a small scale, then that can be very evident. Take dinner theater, for instance. A lot of you have served with dinner theater. In dinner theater, you have the actors and you have the director, and they're one group. And they all have their different contributions that where they fit and they work together and they're part of a bigger whole. You know, Don's part needed my part needed his part. We both felt like we belonged. And even in that, there were concerns that were shared with each other, prayer requests. As we have every production, there's something where one of us is going through something and the others are lifting them up and praying for them. And we get a chance to see that we need each other in the service, but that also helps to build those bonds. You have the cooks and you have the servers, kind of another group. And they all see how they have different contributions that fit and work together with a bigger whole. The cooks needed the servers to serve the food, and the servers needed the cooks to cook the food. Pretty simple, but I want us to be able to see how serving in a smaller group, you get to see how you fit in. And that's the beauty of dinner theater. People just jump in there and they say, where can I help? What do I need to do? Very similar to how I was describing the bereavement meal group. Servers come in and they just go to town and they serve and they do a great job. The people that come in to help Dan and Dina with cooking, they just jump in, they roll their sleeves up and say, what can I do to help? Where do I need? You find a place to belong. You find a place where you're needed. You find a place where you're concerned about and you're concerned about someone else. So you find the places or how different parts work together. Then if you take those two groups, the group of actors and the director and the group of the servers and the cooks, and then you bring them together, you're getting a little more of a medium scale look at how it all works and serves together. The cooks and the servers, sure, they might make a great meal, but without the entertainment, it's not a dinner at theater. And the other way around, if the actors and the director were the only people that showed up and the cooks and the servers weren't there, it wouldn't be a dinner theater. Just be a theater or just be a dinner. But with them coming together, it's a dinner theater, and they fill a part of a bigger whole. And so when we get a chance to see in the smaller groups, then it's more difficult to step back without the small group and see how you fit in the greater whole and how the different parts work together. But when you're part of a smaller group and then you see how you fit, then it's easier to step out and branch out and see a medium group and say, oh, I still fit in the medium group because I'm still doing the same part where I fit. And then you step back even bigger and say, this is the mission of our church, being revealing God through a church in motion. When you were serving those people, when the actors were serving the people with their talents, they were seeing God through a church in motion, through a church serving. And we got a chance to see how all of our different parts work together. I'm not sure how many servers or how many of the actors thought, I'm revealing God through a church emotion. You were doing your part in a smaller group. But on the grand scale, on the big scheme of things, that's exactly what you were doing. You were fulfilling the mission of the church. I believe that every server, every actor, every person that took part, every cook, the director, I believe everyone walked away from each evening's dinner theater production and they felt fulfilled, that they had done something for the kingdom. They had done something for other people. We found where our parts fit together for that evening. That's on a small scale. And on a small scale, it's easier to see how our different parts work together. That's one of the reasons why we should serve in our discipleship teams. We don't have to wait around for dinner theater to see that happen. You can do that in your discipleship teams. Another reason why we should serve together in our discipleship teams is we get to see on a small scale how we each belong to the body. With the level of closeness that we form in our discipleship teams, it's much easier to feel a sense of belonging than just sitting in this room on a Sunday morning. When you go to your Sunday school class and they greet you and they know you by name, you feel like you belong to the body because you belong to your Sunday school class. When they ask about updates on the prayer request that you shared last week, you feel like you belong. This increases when you serve together as a small group. As you're using your gifts and your talents side by side with people that you're already close to, then using your gifts and talents and you're accomplishing something together for the kingdom, then there's an even greater sense of belonging than just the fellowship part of it. When you serve together as a discipleship team, then you get a chance to kind of step it up a level and feel, I really belong here. I belong with these people. And it's easier to jump in and serve when it's a small group of people that you know. If you got a small group or a discipleship, you know, a small group, Sunday school, or a ministry team, and they're all going to serve and do something together, if your Sunday school is going to all serve at one event, then it's easier for you to jump in and say, well, yeah, I guess I'll serve too. I guess I'll jump in and do that. Where in a big scale event like here, sharing things like the car show or the burger bash, sometimes it's hard to get people to volunteer for those things. But if a whole group volunteered, you know, if you had four or five people of your Sunday school say, you know what, I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to help out that young lady and her family, and our whole Sunday school should do the burger bash. If you had, you know, just a few people in your Sunday school bring that up, then the rest of the Sunday school might jump in and say, you know what, you're right, we ought to do that, we should do that. It's easier to jump in and serve together, and then you feel this sense of belonging together. And you get a chance to see that on a small scale, serving in discipleship teams. It helps us to experience a sense of belonging on a small scale. And serving in discipleship teams, it also helps us to see on a small scale that we have been made and arranged for a purpose. When we see how our different gifts, our different parts fit together, and we feel that we belong, and we feel that this, because we come together and we serve together as a discipleship team, then we get a better view of how we are made and arranged. You get to know yourself better serving with your discipleship teams, serving with people who know you, serving with people who make you feel like you belong, who need you. You get a chance to see who you are, who you are made to be. Sometimes in a larger model of ministry, you don't get a chance to see that. It's not as easy to jump in. But on a smaller scale, it's easier to jump in. It's a low-risk environment to kind of test the waters. Am I a hand? I don't know. Let me see. That's harder to do in a big group. So if you jump out and you say, I think I'm a hand and you're a foot, then I think every one of us feels kind of embarrassed when you're in front of a large group of people and you're like, oh, I'm not a hand, I'm a foot. But in a smaller group, it's easier to jump in and with people who know you and say, you know what, I think I'm a hand. And you got people around you and they say, you know what, I think you're not. Or they say, no, you know what, I think you are a hand, I think you got it. Let's help you be the best hand you can be. I'm a foot. Here's an arm. Here's a shoulder. Here's a torso. Go be the hand. Let's see how it works. It's easier to do in a small group. You get a chance to see who you are, your purpose, your meaning. And just attending a Sunday school or just attending a small group or just even being part of a ministry team doesn't quite do it. What happens, it's when you serve that you find those parts. When you're active. We also get to see how we need each other in the body. You know, as a musician in the praise team, it's easier to see how the other musicians need you and you need them. You're in this team, the second service team. When Logan's not playing, we just have Oregon. It's great. She does a great job. But we do miss Logan. And vice versa. When Logan's playing and we're missing the Oregon. Sometimes we change it up on purpose to kind of stylize a little bit. But I think most of us notice, oh, Shirley's not playing this morning. Or we hear that there's no piano. Or when there's neither. We definitely notice that. And they need each other. Second service, a larger praise team, they see that. And Logan asked me to play second service. We need a guitarist. I'm needed. As members of a small group, or a Sunday school, or a ministry team, when you take on a project together, when you serve together, when your different gifts come together, and you feel a sense of belonging and purpose, then it's easier to see how you are needed and how you need others. When you see that the person that God has made you to be and the gifts that he has given you fits in with others, and you belong, and you matter to the other members of that group, and you serve together, and you see purpose come from that, the purpose that you were made for, that you were arranged for, and you're watching the group fulfill a purpose as a discipleship team, then we're encouraged to grow. Let's take this one step further. If you experience that, if you experience this serving in a smaller group, in a discipleship team, and through that service, you feel a sense of belonging, feel a sense of neededness, you feel a concern, you feel a sense of purpose, that you are doing your part, and you feel that, and you walk away from that feeling really good about it, in a good way, not a bad, prideful way, but in a good way, that you are being who God made you to be. You know what's going to happen? Here's the next step, and here's how we reproduce through this. You're going to be more excited, more prone, more encouraged to invite someone in there because what you found. Man, I found this and it's great. You really ought to come and join us the next time we're out serving. And you bring someone along with you. Maybe it's someone in the group that just doesn't, you know, they'll attend a Sunday school, but you never see them at a function serving with the Sunday school. And yeah, you might invite them in, but when it's affected you, when it's impacted you, and when it's made a life change in you, and when it's brought more life to you, then it's personal. And then you're going to go with conviction, with a good conviction, not hellfire and brimstone, you ought to serve, but more of a, man, this is awesome. This is so exciting. I love what I've discovered here. You got to come with us next time. You got to experience this together. It's like when you find a great concert or something, you want to bring your friends to it. Or when you find a great event, a great comedy act, or a great this, or a great that, we went up to the Renaissance Festival, the Sean O'Meara's and us, a few years ago. Loved it. And we said, we got to go again. So you go and you do something once, and once it becomes personal and ignites a fire in you, you're going to want to bring others into it. And guess what happens when they do? They get to experience a sense of belonging, a sense of need. They get to find out where they fit in with the body. They get a chance to see who God made them in a more clear way. In addition to making the connections of the fellowship, in addition to joining in with Bible study, those are all extra. And we'll talk about those in the next couple weeks. But just in this service element, when you invite people in there, it will help to reproduce other people who are connected to the heart and actions of Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be about. And that's how these teams are discipleship teams, or could be discipleship teams. But you have to experience it first yourself. Because remember, we looked at early in the series that only a disciple can make a disciple. So in some of these other actions, some of these techniques, some of these strategies that we're talking about, if you're not excited about serving with your small group or your Sunday school or your ministry team, you're definitely not going to want to invite anybody along with you. You don't even want to go yourself. But if you serve and you get excited about it because you feel a sense, you know, all these things that we've been talking about, then you're going to want to bring someone else in. You got to come join us. I've noticed that you're not part of a group. You got to be part of our group. I think you'd fit in great. You look like a hand. We need a hand. Come on in. And that's how we can reproduce. And we can reproduce that way through low-risk environments in discipleship teams.